Ephesians chapter 6, turn there with me. The sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Talking about the sword of the Spirit tonight. I know that you're familiar with this topic, and especially this text here, because it is the spiritual warfare chapter, dealing with the armament that's been provided by God for us in every conflict, every spiritual conflict that we have. Now, I believe that for the believer, the Christian, that all of our struggles have spiritual effect. All the things, you may not think that your trouble or your problem is really a spiritual problem, but the enemy uses all types of things against us. All different ways to try to hinder and stop us and stop the work of God. So the struggles that you're in right now, whatever that they might be, they can have, and most usually do have, spiritual impact, spiritual implication in your life. No matter what it is, it can have an effect upon your walk with the Lord. And so we need to be reminded as believers that we are in a warfare. We do have an enemy. He wants to destroy us. He would love to wipe out your calling and your purpose in God. But we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit here. Let's read here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All of these different pieces of spiritual armor we're to put on. But each one of them, the first five that are mentioned there, are all pieces of armor that are designed to protect you from the attack of the enemy. They're all protective in nature, to defend you. And there's only this one that's listed as an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. Everything else is defensive. They're important. That doesn't mean they're not important. They certainly are important to put on the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. All of these are important in our spiritual struggles. But tonight we're gonna look at this for a few minutes. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. This offensive weapon that we have been given. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul, when he describes this here in Ephesians to the believers at Ephesus, he is describing the Greek word is a word that means a dagger or just a short sword. When we think of a sword, we think of this big long thing that someone involves in a battle. But this is a word that means a short dagger. Something very small that they would just carry. And whenever they would pull this out, it would be a precise weapon. I mean, they could pull this little short, just say 6 inches to 18 inches long. They would pull it out and they would be able to be precise with it. That was the sword of the Spirit. And I'd always envisioned it as something, you know, a big, long, sharp sword, but not so. This word, when you look it up in Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, look it up. Makairo, it means a short sword or a dagger. Just a short little precise weapon. It's the same word, it's the same weapon that was used there in the garden whenever the high priest came and the accusers came to arrest Jesus, and Peter pulls out his short little dagger. And it's a precise weapon. Actually, he probably was aiming at his throat to cut his throat. But he missed and he just took off his ear with that little short sword that he had. Now, I know you're wondering, why in the world are you making such a big deal over the difference in distinguishing what this is? Well, it's important that we understand what the sword of the Spirit is. There are two words that we use, or that are used that are translated word or word of God. And one of them, I know you're familiar with these words, but I'm going to get somewhere here in a minute. Logos is the first one. And really, the Logos is just the truth, the revealed Word of God. It's this book from cover to cover. All of the Word of the Lord. Every bit of it. That's the Logos. The truth that is revealed. The thoughts of God revealed in the Word of God. The knowledge of God. The totality of it. From the very first to the very last of it. That's the Logos. But the other word that's used for the word or the word of God is the word we're talking about here tonight, the short dagger, and that is the word rhema. And you've heard that term also, the rhema word. It's different than just the Bible from cover to cover. We know that is the word of God, but here in this text, whenever the scripture says, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, that's the rhema. Take the sword of the Spirit, and you'll be able to have this offensive weapon against the enemy who wants to attack you and destroy you. And how you're able to do that? Well, I remember when I was a young person in a youth group, I guess when the youth leader hadn't really planned anything. Nothing was planned. And so we would have what they called sword drills. That's when they run out of something to do, and they would just... they would have an exercise and to see who could look up a particular passage the fastest, get to it, and stand up and read it. And they would have competition, sword drills. How many's ever been in a sword drill? Almost every one of us. Well, I don't want to mess up your thinking about this, but if we're looking at this from whatever someone says, have you got your sword tonight? Have you got your sword? It's really not totally accurate as far as what we're describing here, because the sword was not the totality of the Word of God. It was the rhema of the Word of God. And the rhema of the Word of God was a particular verse of Scripture or a particular place in the Word of God that became personal to you and to your circumstance that you were in. And you've all had that kind of experience when you were reading the Word of God and suddenly... you read something and it was like it came alive to you. And it was the solution. It was the answer. Or maybe you were in some problem or trouble and the Lord just would bring some verse that you had committed to memory to your mind, and you would realize that God had given you, by His Spirit, He had given to you not all of the Word, but a particular word for your need and your situation at that time. That is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Have you ever had that happen? Have you had that experience whenever God gave you the answer to your predicament and your need, and right out of the Word of God, and it wasn't the totality of the Word of God. Sure, it's precious from cover to cover, and we should read it and we should study it, and it's precious to us. It's the Logos. All of the revelation of God's knowledge and will for us that He wants for us to have is found in the pages of the Word of God. It's the Logos. But the Rhema, the sword of the Spirit that's spoken of here in Ephesians chapter 6, is that short little dagger that's a precise weapon to get to the where you want to get to solve the problem, to be the answer in the situation that you're in. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, or rather Hebrews chapter 4, The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that the word quick means alive. It means alive. It means energetic. It means active. It's not dead. You know, you can read the Bible and read through the pages of the Scripture and it have no effect on you whatsoever. People do it all the time. They read the Bible and it doesn't affect their lives at all. Or you can hear from God from through the pages of His Word, and God by His Spirit makes the Word of God come alive to you. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. Amen. It's powerful. It's so mighty that it can do anything. It can convict the heart of a person. It can deal with the hearts of people. It can cause people to be awakened and aware of their sinful condition that they're in. It can bring about change in the lives of people. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. And it is sharp. It can penetrate not just... This is the sword of the Spirit. It can penetrate, the Bible says, to the place, it says, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit that's so powerful that it can penetrate down into the depths of your heart and your spirit, and can deal with you even concerning the areas of your life, the thoughts and the intents of your heart, the motives. It can reveal, it can expose your motives and your secret thoughts. All can be revealed by this Rhema, Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. And you say, well, what's the big deal about all this? Well, because we're in battles. We're constantly in spiritual struggles. And a lot of people, they spend a lot of their time beaten down and defeated by the enemy. And you can see it in the expression on their face. They're defeated. They're not walking in victory. They're living their life discouraged and without hope. And a big reason is because they've not taken advantage of the power of the Word of God. Amen. God's Word that can become alive in your situation. Amen. In Matthew chapter 4, this is the example that we have of Jesus Himself. Whenever He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, in three different areas, you know, the devil really, he just used the same old scheme and plan that he has always used. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He used it on Adam and Eve in the garden. He used it on Jesus in the wilderness, in His temptation, tempting Christ. And you'll notice two different times. Well, actually, in the previous chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew, that to this was when Jesus was baptized and the dove descended out of heaven, and the voice of the Lord spoke out of heaven, "This is My Son." Amen. "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The last verse of the previous chapter. And then He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And the first thing that Satan does in verse 3, the tempter came to Him and said, "If Thou be the Son of God." He's already challenging what the Father had said about who Jesus was. "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is the Son of the living God. And the first thing that the tempter does is he comes and he says, "If you're the Son of God. If you are the Son of God." And he does it again, two times in this temptation. He does it in verse 3, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He does it again in verse 6, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee." Challenging the very Word of the Lord. That's what the enemy does, to try to defeat and destroy what God has accomplished in you. You know, when you become a Christian, You have to realize that you have an adversary, the devil, and he's out to destroy you. He wants to defeat you and to keep you from growing in the Lord and accomplishing the things that God has sent you forth to accomplish. He's a liar. He's a liar. And he's a challenger of what God has said. I went through all this because I want to challenge you to the Word of God. And actually, when we start the new year, we're making plans. The youth had, a couple of months ago, a 24-hour time of challenge. And I believe that it had an effect on several young people. And so I just decided that as a church body, we're going to start the new year with a 24-hour challenge. And we'll be talking more about this. But one of the areas that we're going to be challenging the church in is in the importance of the Word of God, a systematic time of reading the Word of God. And we're going to provide you with a reading schedule, not only for the whole year, but to be able to read through the New Testament in the first month of 2011, so that you can feel the effect and realize the importance of the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit, so that you will be able, when Satan sins, and he's attacking you, that you're going to have an answer. And that answer is going to be from the Word of God. Now, Jesus, he had the Word of God. Of course, we know he is the Word of God. But he had to have the Word of God in his mind and in his heart, or he wouldn't have been able to pull those verses out to attack or to defend himself and to attack the enemy with them. One of the best things about that whole account was that Jesus left him, or that Satan left Jesus alone. After that third temptation and third attempt, Satan left him alone. Amen. If you want the devil to leave you alone, you get full of the Word of God. You get saturated with the Word of the Lord. And then whenever you have an understanding and you have filled your heart and your mind with the truth of God's Word, you are going to be equipped. And the Spirit of God is going to be able to bring these things to your mind and to your attention, and that cause that Word of God to become a rhema for that particular situation that you're in. When you're sick, a word to destroy the enemy who wants to destroy your physical body. Or whatever it is that you're facing, whatever challenge or temptation it is, then you need to know the Word of God so that the Word of God will be able to have its impact and influence in your life. Do you know that all three of those verses that Jesus quoted in that temptation in the wilderness, can anybody guess what book of the Bible they came from? They came from Deuteronomy. All three of them, Deuteronomy. A lot of people, when they're reading through the Bible, they do really good through Genesis, really good through Leviticus, or through Exodus, and then they get bogged down. They get bogged down in those other books of the Bible. And even in Deuteronomy, which is actually a little bit easier reading than Leviticus and Numbers. But do you know that the Lord can talk to you from every place in the Word of God? He can bring these things to your mind and to your attention. He can give you by His Spirit a rhema of His Word. And just to remind you again, this is when God gives you the Word that you need for your particular circumstance. It is a personal Word. He makes it come alive to you, and you've had that experience, I'm sure, whenever the Word of God, some particular passage or some particular truth became alive to you because it was the answer to your personal situation you were in. Glory to God. So the important thing that we do is that we be reminded of the importance and of the opportunities that we have in the Word of God. Amen. And I know since I do most of the preaching here, it may be a little bit awkward for me to talk about this, except for the fact that I'm not the only one that preaches here. All of us preachers have a responsibility before God that we walk up here to the pulpit to have spent time in the Word and in prayer, and to be able to declare the things that God has put on our hearts. Because whenever the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God goes forth, it has power to influence people's lives. It can do a work. It can be a spiritual work in the lives of people. Many occasions that I have been sitting in the pew over my Christian life and heard the preaching of the Word, and God would speak directly to my situation, directly to my need. He would give me answers. He would give me a direct word of confirmation or whatever that I was in need of. I can't even enumerate all the wonderful times that God has done that through the Word of God. So never limit what God can do, and always give honor and respect to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the will of God. When the word of the Lord is declared, whenever there is the teaching and the preaching of the word of God, this is the pattern, this is the plan that God has given for us to be able to effectively communicate the heart of God and the will of God to us as a body. Amen. And I'll just insert this as a prayer request. You probably noticed that we haven't had our projector and everything lined up. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it gives the double impact whenever you can put your scriptures up and emphasizing the topic and parts of the message. And we're just having a lot of problems trying to update software and computers, and the projector that we've had for a long time is about to die, and we need a new one. It cost a lot of money, about $1,400 to get what we need, that's a lot of money, and other things that we need to make this happen again. We're having difficulty with it, and the projector, you know, it's just got problems and not doing what it needs to do. It's just a tool, but it helps in communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. It helps. And it gives emphasis, especially in an age today when people are so visually oriented. It really, really helps, especially people who come in and don't know the Lord and they don't know much about the Bible. And they may not even have a Bible in their hands. But we're able to put the Word of God up here and help them with it. I'm for it. I believe that it can help. Another thing I've been concerned about, and this is just practical things, and that is the fact that we have a number of people in our congregation that have hearing problems. And we need to be able to communicate the gospel, and everybody needs to be able to hear the Word of God. And I know my voice is low, and it doesn't really do all that well for people who have hearing problems, but there's a way to solve this problem. Amen. And we've got some elderly people that they've almost stopped coming because they told me, I can't hear. I can't hear anything that's going on in a service. I can't hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. I can't hear it. Now, folks, we got to solve this problem. Amen. I know there's at least five or six and maybe more folks who are members here in this church, and they need to be able to hear in the service. And there's equipment that's available to help with that. There's some hearing devices that can help us to get this done. And if anyone has a hearing problem, that we would be able to provide them with something so that they could hear the Word of God. It's that important. That there be no hindrances, that there be nothing that could stop the promoting and the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And I just gave you just a couple of verses here, and there are a number of other verses that I could have read to you tonight that also confirm the fact that God has, by the foolishness of preaching, this is a part of the plan of God for the church and for the promoting of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to do whatever we can do to make it happen. I know that there's nothing more important than the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon it. Nothing more important than hearing the voice of God and making sure that we're in the direction that God wants us to be going. But we don't want anything to stop or to hinder that. Amen. Amen. I'll just make a few more suggestions. Amen. Amen. The further back you are, the more distracting you're going to be. The further back you are, if you're having trouble being distracted, move up. Move up. Look at all these great seats up here in the front. Move on up so that you can hear. And if you need to read lips, you'll get closer so that you can do that too. Amen. The word of God needs to go forth, and there needs to be an emphasis and an encouragement toward the word of God. I remember as a kid in church, my mom would pinch me if I wasn't paying attention to the preacher. She would just reach over and pay attention. Pay attention to the preacher. And I learned the lesson painfully. Amen. To pay attention. It was because it was important. It was the word of God. And it was going forth to a particular need. Amen. Not only preaching, but also the reading of the word of God. Systematically reading the word of God. Getting in the Word on a daily basis, then the Word of God can have the effect that it needs to have. And there's all kinds of different reading plans that you can use. And I often have used just reading through, reading a psalm, or reading a proverb and five psalms. And you can within 30 days go through the psalms and the proverbs. It's an amazing thing how quickly you can go through these, and you can read four chapters a day, and you can go through all of the Bible in a year's time. Double that and twice in a year. Eight chapters a day, you can read the Bible through two times during the year 2011. That's not really all that much. It wouldn't be that big of a commitment or investment, but it would be valuable time that you spend with the Bible. With God's Word. And that Word can become for you, as you read through the Word of God, it can become the very answer to the predicament and the problem that you're facing right now. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, just suppose that you have a financial need. And you're reading the Bible. You read through the Scripture. And you're reading like you are searching for a treasure. And as you read through the Word of God, you'll be surprised at how many verses you'll see that apply to your situation that you're in. Or maybe you're sick in body, and you're reading through the Word of God. You'll be surprised at how many places that God will speak to you about your physical condition and about His provision for you. So when you go to the Word of God, you're not just randomly reading. You're reading. You're in a search for a rhema from God. For the sword of the Spirit. Jesus used it in the wilderness. And you can use it against the enemy who wants to continually pound on you with all of these problems and the attack against your life and your spiritual walk with the Lord. And you can come back to Him. You have the defensive armor, but take the sword of the Spirit. So that you'll have this readily available rhema from God so that you can deal with this. And the Bible says that Satan left. After the third time, Satan left Jesus alone in the wilderness. Amen. You want Him to leave you alone? You get filled up with God's Word. You let God begin to talk to you in the pages of the Word of God. And even memorizing it. I know that sounds like a childhood experience. But you can hide the Word of God in your heart. Even when we get older, we can commit some verses of Scripture to memory. Psalm 119 in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Does the word of God has that kind of, it has that kind of power? So that whenever you start to do something that doesn't please the Lord, that the word of God that you've placed there checks you. It stops you from going forward in the things that you are involved in. That's the sword of the Spirit. And certainly, we're not minimizing the power of all of the Word of God. But really what the Word, this is the Logos, this is the Logos. From Genesis to Revelation. But it's really, it's not really accurately the sword of the Spirit. It's really the arsenal from which you pull out the various swords in your situation, your need, your trouble, your problem. That the Word of God is living. It's alive. It's not a dead book. It's a living book. And it's alive. And it's quick. And it's powerful. And it can deal with every detail of your life. And God is sovereign. And God can direct you by His Spirit. And He can speak to you specifically about your need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So pay attention to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Give a definite effort in your reading and study of the Word of the Lord. And memorize it. You'd be surprised. When I was visiting with Boyd the other day, he told me that he had went to Brother Huff just some time back, 2 or 3 years ago, and he said, I'm trying to study some places in the Bible, and I can't find where I need to. I can't find the verses that I'm looking for. And so Brother Huff said, well, you need to get you a Cruden's concordance. Now, I'm a Strong's man, but he said a Cruden's, and that's okay. But and so he went to several bookstores, and all that they had was Strong's. And he would not buy the Strong's concordance. Because Brother Huff said, buy a Cruden's concordance. And he finally found one in the Lexington bookstore. And it's just a paperback. But I was encouraged to know that Boyd was interested in the Word of God. And that he was studying it. And he actually gave me the concordance. He said, the next time that there's a little guy in the church that wants to go to Bible school or they get called to preach, would you give this to them? And I've got it. And I'm going to give it to somebody that can use it for the glory of God and studying the Word of God. Every believer, every Christian needs to make a conscious effort to get in the Word of God, to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, to memorize it, to make it a part of your daily walk with the Lord, so that whenever you face some battle or some struggle, and you will, you may already be in the heat of it right now. Go to the Word of God and there are answers there. And pull out of the arsenal the sword of the Spirit. Amen. That can help you in the situation that you're in. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you do provide for us. Many, many times, Lord, you've given us a rhema. A sword of the Spirit. Lord, an answer, a confirmation, an understanding of your purpose and your plan from the Word of God. Thank you for it. And Lord, I just pray that you would stir up in our hearts. And Lord, as we come to the close of this year, Lord, that we'll start the new year with a renewed desire, a renewed challenge, Lord, to be in the Word like we have never been before. Because it is the answer. And it, within the pages of your word, Lord, I know that you have the answer. You have the cure. You have the solution. You have what we have need of. So Lord, stir our hearts as believers to feed upon your word. To take it into our lives and our hearts. And realize that it becomes alive as you quicken it by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. I would suppose a good majority here in this service tonight, you're Christians and you've got not a Bible, you've got Bibles. And that's good. Some of you have the Bible on C CD or have it even on a device that you can listen to, like an iPod or something, that you can listen to the Bible. Take advantage of every tool you can possibly use. The Word of God. Amen. Listen to it in the car. Listen to it while you're at work, if it's appropriate. And take advantage of times that you have to put the Word of God in your heart. Hallelujah. And pray that the Word of the Lord would be preeminent. You know, there's a real, real problem today in the church world. A moving away from God's Word. A turning away from it. Churches that are doing things are just not pleasing to God. And not emphasizing the Word of the Lord, the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Many, many of the mega churches today. And that's why I appreciate churches like the Times Square Church. That it's a great big congregation, but there's no fooling around when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God. It's they declare the truth. Amen. Preaching the Word of God. Let me tell you, that city needs it, and every city in this country needs the Word of the Lord. And you need God's Word in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we come around the altars tonight? Let's pray a while. And let's ask the Lord to stir our hearts. Deal with us about our needs. And then commit yourself to God's Word and avail yourself to it in every possible way that you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Would you come? Everybody that will, find a place and let's pray together. If you don't know the Lord, this would be a good night for you just to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's believe God to do a work of His Holy Spirit in us. Hallelujah.